our scripture reading this morning as we prepare is Philippians chapter 1. Now, Paul wrote this to the Philippians, and I would like to read only through verse 11. Philippians 1, 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. One of the nice things when you're visiting in a pulpit is that you can encourage people and challenge people, and you don't have to worry about being fired. I'll still get my pension check, regardless of what happens today. And so, this morning, as we enter a new year, I would like to encourage you and challenge you. And my outline is in your bulletin. It's not on the blank page. Those are for any notes you may wish to take. But the page behind it has our outline, Confident Christians in a New Year. We want to talk this morning about confidence we have in companionship. We want to talk about confidence in coming things. And we want to talk about confidence in completion. Now, when I was working, we would always, about November, supply calendars for our employees so that they could start filling up appointments for the year ahead. And at staff meeting, I would always share with them this poem about the calendars and the year to come. Listen carefully. They gave us all a calendar at work this afternoon. Suddenly it dawns on me, the year is ending soon. Comes January, cold and gray, the new year's just beginning. And February, short and bright, with Valentine hearts winning. Comes March, the windy, roaring one, and warm the sun of spring. Then April, bright of shining sky and flowers blossoming. Comes May, and school comes to a close with children's happy laughter, and teachers too, I might add. Then June, with open city pools and praise picnics soon thereafter. July comes booming with a bang of red-glared rockets blasting. Then August lingers with its heat that seems so everlasting. September, gold September comes, the year is growing older. October with sweet Halloween, the nights grow dark and colder. November smells of harvest, of turkey and Thanksgiving. December comes with joy and lights to fill hearts of the living. Each page I flip and see these things of days yet to come. My calendar's a door to me, an adventure just begun. For those in the world around us, a new year arriving brings with it a mix of optimism and apprehension. People are optimistic that things will be better, yet there exists a certain pessimism as people remember the difficulties of a year just past. For those who are outside Christ, there must indeed be uncertainty as one looks at the months yet to come in light of recent history. The stock market reflects uncertainty one day and optimism the next, resulting in a roller coaster of ups and downs for anyone who follows it. On the world scene, there is great uncertainty about China, Russia, and the Middle East, and whether any of these might seek to invade another. Then, of course, there are the health concerns related to whatever variations of the COVID virus is currently among us and all the misinformation that accompanies it. Do I wear a mask or not? Do I shake hands, bump fists, or simply smile and nod, avoiding any physical contact? Do I get the vaccine or not? Do I travel on airlines, gather in large crowds, attend parties and family gatherings? Or should I stay home until some future day when more information is known? As if these uncertainties weren't enough, we live in an age where the news media no longer simply reports the facts of the news so that I can make an informed decision. Instead, this conglomerate attempts to control my thinking and subsequent behavior by selectively reporting the elements of a story. They want to conform us to an image they envision a man ought to be, an image far different from the righteous man portrayed in Scripture. Finding a source that seeks to inform, not influence, is a nearly impossible task. How different for believers in Christ. We have the certainty of the Scripture, which has been given by God Himself and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We have the directive of God given in the very first chapter of Genesis, subdue the earth. To accompany the directive, we have the promise of Jesus Himself in Matthew chapter 28, and immediately before His ascension, that He is always with us. A study of the attributes of the one we serve reminds us that He alone is self-sufficient. The I am of eternity past, present, and eternity future. He is unchanging and and his love is unlimited and everlasting. What certainty this should give us as believers, as a church heading into a new year. What optimism should exude as we look forward to what God will do and how he will ask us to be part of it. Hebrews 3:1 tells us we are partakers of the heavenly calling. And so it brings us to our word for the day, confidence. Confidence. It is a word that is prominently featured in our verse of the year, Philippians 1:6. It is a verse you will see over the next 12 months printed on the front of your bulletin. Each time you see it, I want you to remember that though we walk in a fallen world, a world engrossed in all the uncertainties that accompany sin and its resultant death, as believers, our hope and our confidence is not in ourselves. It is not in man. It is not in the world system. We are not evolving into the man the media thinks we should be. No. Our confidence is in something secure, steadfast, immovable, eternal. As believers, our confidence is based on the sure mercies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to know, as we embark together as a church in this new year, that we can walk into this year with confidence, for greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. In the outline in your bulletin, please observe three verses that contain the word confident. What can we learn from these that will encourage us to move forward in a year that is sure to have its challenges? Today, I want to emphasize three confidences we have as believers to take us into this new year, 2022. Although challenges will come, as they do every year, these confidences will give you strength to complete the year in Christ. Listen carefully to these. First, confidence in companionship. Second, confidence in coming things. And third, confidence in completion. We first encounter the word confident in Psalm 27, verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. War may rise against me, and this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Certainly few men have experienced the highs of victory in war, success and personal accomplishment, accumulation of wealth, and the national, heady national acclaim, as did David, the man who wrote this psalm. He was also, as you know, a man who was well acquainted with hardship in his family, separation from God, and the resultant depression and lows in his spiritual life. Psalm 27 is characterized by strong contrasts, such as lament and laud, persecution and praise, warfare and worship. Only 14 verses it outlines into three conversations with himself about privileges, with the Lord about problems, verses 7 to 12, and with himself in verses 13 and 14 about perseverance. Engagement in these three conversations helps him balance the ups and downs of real life. is the first confidence you can take into this new year? Confidence and companionship. The outline of this text is in the sermon notes page of your bulletin. Here we find four examples of companionship with the Lord. First, companionship in the Word, companionship in worship, companionship in prayer, and companionship in His Spirit. Now, the Christian life is about relationship with our Creator. A right relationship results in companionship, and that companionship with God builds confidence and faith as we move forward in the struggles of life. How did this psalmist develop confidence from the companionship he experienced with his Lord? Well, first, he went to the house of the Lord and inquired of him. Verse 4. How do we inquire of the Lord? He reveals himself through the teaching of his word. Here is the psalmist's first companionship. Companionship with God by hearing the word of God. See the second there in verse 6. Companionship in worship. How was the psalmist lifted above the challenges around him? By entering God's tabernacle and rendering worship. There, in the tabernacle, a meeting with God, we see he also experienced companionship through prayer. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. And fourthly, we see the psalmist experience companionship with the Spirit of God. See verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. It is the Spirit of God who directs our steps in the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It is the Holy Spirit in companionship who leads us in the way of life everlasting. Regardless of the challenges we face in this present world. Have you ever been caught talking to yourself? It's always embarrassing. Oddly, it's frowned upon in society, but it is something we all do and is a necessary and healthy part of our existence. But the psalmist takes this a step further. He engages in conversation with the Lord through prayer, through meditation on God and His Word. As believers, here is step one. In confidence for a new year. Begin your day with prayer and pray often throughout the day. Study the Word of God daily and meditate on it throughout the day. Gather with other believers to fellowship, share prayer needs, and receive theirs. Speak to give a word of encouragement. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Who can you encourage today in this church body with a word fitly spoken? During this coming week, take time to review this psalm and see that David has great confidence. That confidence is strengthened through companionship with his Redeemer. We come to a second confidence in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 and verse 8. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Now, in our study, we switch from a confident psalmist to a confident missionary and tent maker. Paul knew a little about tents, as that was his vocation, apart from his Christian missionary service. Here, he uses the tent as a metaphor for the human body. As a tent contains goods, protects from the elements, and provides housing, so the human body houses the eternal spirit. Paul writes that like a tent, man's existence in the human body is fragile, insecure, and lowly. However, he looks ahead to a day when, as a believer in Christ, he would receive a new body fitted by God for eternity that would forever perfectly express his transformed nature. Do you have ailments in your current tent? Does the roof leak a little? Join Paul and look with confidence to a day when you will receive a new body made by God, fitted for eternity with Him. Paul assures us in these verses that coming things are eternal. Verse 1. The coming things are guaranteed. Verse 5. How are these things obtained by the believer? By the measure of faith God has given us. Coming things are not seen, but are grasped in faith. Your faith can grow this year, and your faith will grow this year as you trust God daily through prayer, Bible study, and fellowship with God's people. We must practice our Christian walk not by things seen, but by the sure nature of the unseen promises of God. Verse 7. Now, though coming things are not seen, we have confidence that God's promises to us are sure. Though our present tent has infirmities, we are confident that a day is coming when we will receive a new tent, a body fitted for eternal service in God's presence. Finally, this third verse from which to draw confidence for a new year. It is our verse of the year, Philippians 1:6, and I'm sorry that today it's not on the front of your bulletin, but it will be next week. We are confident in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul is the author the Holy Spirit used to communicate this truth to the church at Philippi, the first one founded by Paul in Europe. He writes this verse. Here we see that Paul expresses confidence in completion, that God will finish what He has started. What is that for believers? Paul reminds us that our completion is ongoing, that God will work through our individual circumstances to make us into the very image of Christ, our Savior. After all, isn't that the purpose God has for every believer? To be transformed into Christ-likeness? Isn't that the reason trials will come to us in this year ahead, to increase our dependency on God and to draw us to Himself. Isn't that the reason we will experience God's blessings in the coming year? To realize that all we have comes from God and to render thanksgiving to Him. Isn't that the reason we will gather in this place 52 times in the next 12 months to worship God in obedience and simply because He is worthy of our worship and also to worship in thanksgiving for what He has done for us through the obedient work of Jesus Christ, His Son? The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, the completion Paul writes of is ongoing as we press forward in our Christian lives. Paul also reminds us in this verse that it is assured. Your coming year will contain trials, and it will contain triumphs. They will be different for each one of us. Yet in all of them, whatever they may be, God will use them to transform us into the image of His Son. It is assured. Take confidence in this. As your session, your shepherds, it is our desire that our church members, whom God has entrusted to our care, will experience in 2022 a year of spiritual growth. I hope it is your desire also. This time of the holidays is a good time to reflect on the year past and to plan for the year ahead. Have you, during these days of rest from work and regular responsibilities, taken time to consider what you will do to grow spiritually in 2022? Have you asked the Lord about this in your prayers? You know, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. It takes initiative and it takes discipline. Now, we know from years past that time will pass automatically. But if you don't plan, if you don't work, if you don't follow through, 2023 will arrive and you'll be no further along in your spiritual growth. So what do I mean by taking initiative? Now, I mentioned to you that trials will come and we react to those. Those are passive. But we also need to take initiative to plan. Let me ask you some questions. Have you identified passages of Scripture you will memorize this year so that you are ready to share your faith with others? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Are there some biographies of believers you have identified to read this year so that your faith might grow through their experiences? I heard a fellow one time give some very good advice. When you're picking your heroes, make sure it's somebody that's already dead. Who will you take a look at in a biography who has experienced God's blessing so that you can learn from their experiences? Are you using a study method in your daily Bible study time? Are you diligent about having family Bible study and prayer time, especially those of you who have children? Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you thought about how you will minister to others here in our church body, serving on a committee, serving as an usher, teaching children's church, working in a nursery, Perhaps learning to operate the soundboard. Perhaps you are musically gifted and you would share your gift of music during worship. Some of you are spiritually mature enough to serve as deacons or elders. Have you prayerfully considered this? I want to remind you that the church offers opportunities for your spiritual growth, opportunities to learn the scriptures in Sunday school, instruction on Wednesday night, and small group Bible studies. Yep, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, you can be in a Sunday school class, or you can be studying your pillow, which is going to give you greater spiritual growth. What will you do this coming year to serve this church body and to grow yourself? He wasn't much for stirring about. It wasn't his desire. While others worked to build their church, he was sitting by the fire. Same old story, day by day. He never seemed to tire. No matter what the others did, he was sitting by the fire. At last he died, as all must do. Some say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire. Tomorrow, many of us will return to our routines. The holidays are over. I don't know the specifics of the clouds on your horizon. For some, it may be a job you don't like, or questions and concerns about your career. Some of you are in school and have the challenge of learning a subject you don't like. For some, it's a physical ailment, a body that is no longer the strong body of youth. Some may be facing a bad report from the doctor. Most of us will face challenges in our human relationships, family, bosses, coworkers, neighbors. We admit it is hard to get along with others. Some of you have a loved one who is suffering or who has been taken already on to glory, and we miss the joys of years past. As you enter this year, 2022, remember the confidence these passages have shared with us this morning. Confidence and companionship. Confidence that always, in all circumstances, God is with us. Nothing happens to us that is outside his permissive will. Confidence in coming things, that Christians are guaranteed a new body, one fitted for eternity in God's presence. And finally, confidence in completion, that the all-wise and all-powerful God who has begun his work in you, transforming you into the likeness of Christ, will complete it. When the ups and downs of life come in 2022, remember these things, and with confidence be encouraged in your soul that the one our God is the one who will bring these things to pass. Father, we come to you this day with confidence. You are the Almighty, the Sovereign, the one who directs all things. And so we thank you for the confidence the psalmist developed in his life through his experiences and shared them with us in Psalm 27. We thank you for the confidence of Paul, the missionary and tent maker in 2 Corinthians 5, and in our verse of the year, Philippians 1:6. We ask, Lord, that you would give us confidence to live in the way of life everlasting, confidence to share our faith with our neighbors and those who are around us that do not know Christ, confidence to live whatever circumstances come our way this year for the glory of the God we serve. We ask your blessing on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.